Boketov. We're on Daf Samaches, about five lines down. Amale Rabba Bar Rav Hanan Labaye. Remember, we had a story that we saw yesterday in which they had spilled the water of the Mila. They needed the hot water for the Mila, and there was a real problem in carrying the water through the chatzer, because they hadn't made neither an Erev nor a Mavui, a Shituk Muvos. So Rabba turns to Rav Hanan, Rabba Bar Hanan turns to Abai, and he says, is it possible that Mavo'ah, the Ispe Trey Gavri, Rabba Bikirabonon, both you, Abai, and Rabba, who's the great Rosh Hashiva, you live in that chatzer, in that Mavui, and there was no shituf muvos that was set up, there was no eruv. How could you allow such a thing? It's such a michshol. You know, people will carry from their homes out to the chotzer. How could two great rabbis allow this to go on, a situation where there's a chotzer here with so many residents and there's no eruv? Lo lehevi be lo eruv lo shituf. Is it really possible? How could such a thing happen? It's such a michshol. Amalei Sabai says to Rabba, my Navi, what should we do? Mar, meaning Rabba, he's the Rosh Hashiva, his students are standing on him, you know, morning, night, eve, they're waiting on him, they're soaking up every word of Torah, he doesn't have a minute to breathe. And not only that, Lav Urche, it's not Lefi Chvodo that he would have to knock on the doors of all the residents in that chotzer and try to invoke their participation in the Eruv. Anna, I myself, Tridna Begirsai, I mean, I'm busy learning all the time. I have to finish all the, you know, all that I have on my list for the day. And if I would start gathering, you know, a pas for an Erev or a Shita from every member of the Chatzer, then it would be Mavatil my Limud for the whole day. The Inu, and the other Bnei Amovui, lo mashkeche, they're not paying much attention. They're not going to put themselves out and be matriach themselves to set up an Erev or Shituf. They don't care about it so much. They're not so involved. Abai goes on, he says, v'yakni lepita besala. And you may ask, well, why don't I take out of my own pocket, you know, spend the money, purchase whatever is necessary for this shituf muvos, you know, put the bread in a big basket, and I'll apply the principle of zochel liodav shlo b'fanav. I will be the self-appointed representative of the Bnei Amovui, and on their behalf, I should be zocher. He says, no, that's also not a possibility, because kevan diboile minoi, if let's say the people of the Mavui, theoretically, would come to me, and they'd say to me, well, you know, we want to eat the bread, lo efshar leisva nihilo. I cannot give them the bread that I spent the money on, because I'm a very poor person. And if I would have to divvy up on a weekly basis, one Shabbos after the other, the pas that I need so desperately for Shabbos, I can't afford it. And therefore, if I were to make a kinyan on their behalf, it would not be a valid kinyan, and batel shituf, the shituf would be completely null and void. The sanya we learned in the brayse, echem the bnei amovi shabikesh yayin v'shemen. The bnei amovi set up a shituf with yayin or shemen, and one of the bnei amovi says, I would like to take some of the yayin or some of the shemen for my own table. Lo nosnulo, and they refused to give it to him because they had shelled out the money for it and they didn't want him to have it. Is batel shituf, the whole shituf is batel. Meaning a shituf muvos is predicated on the fact that we take all the collected mazon and it's available for everybody and anyone could have access to it and enjoy it. And if the people who contributed to that shituf muvos on makpid, they don't allow others to take from them, then the shituf muvos is not valid. So now Rabbi Bar Chanan is still not satisfied. Has another kash on Rabbi. V'nikni lumar rivi asa de chala b'chavita. Chala is chometz, and the wine that has a certain vinegar, a wine vinegar to it, is very inexpensive. You have a barrel full of such wine. Why not just designate that anybody that this, you know, this revius of a lug, which is a very minimal amount, and it's very inexpensive because it's just it's vinegar, should be designated on behalf of the Bnei Achatz, Bnei Amavui. And if at some point they decide that they want to cash in, they would like to have a chelik in it, then you wouldn't care. I mean, it's not going to make you a poor person. You're already in that situation. But this is not expensive. This is the barest minimum. A person is not usually makpid for that. So why not just, without having to lift a finger and spend any time, one Shabbos after the other, just every Erev Shabbos, make it your business to make a statement. Here's your barrel of wine, and a revius of the chometz of this barrel is dedicated on behalf of the entire Bnei Amavui as a sheet of mavos. It's no skin, you know, you're not losing anything. It's ein darkon lehakpid al such a small amount, and you don't have to actually go in and collect it from the members of the Mavui. You'll do it on their behalf and designate. So Abaye answers, I can't do that either. Why? Tanya Eva Brisa, Ein Mishtatfim Biotzar. That you cannot create a shituf on wine that's inside a barrel, and it's undetermined actually which part of the wine is designated as the shituf muvos. Even though you might argue, well, during the course of Shabbos, we'll take some of that wine out of the barrel for our table, and whatever left in the barrel will be for Shituf Mavos. Because that depends on the sugya which we're about to learn. We had it earlier in Masechet Erevin called Breira. We don't know if that a Maisa that's unclear today can be determined tomorrow retroactively. And that's where the Gemara now brings another Brisa of Tanya Amar of Oshaya Lokat. I'm sorry, I skipped. For Tanya Mishtatvim, we have another brisa that says Mishtatvim, that you can set up a shituf muvos in an otsar, meaning in a barrel, then it's undetermined at this point exactly where in that barrel is the shituf, which part, which molecules are being designated for that shituf. Omrav Oshia, Lokasha Habe Chamai Habe Silil. We have a machlokes between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai in Masechta Olos with regard to Tumas Mes, which we'll see in just a minute. And the issue is whether or not Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. Beit Shammai hold Ein Breira, therefore you cannot clarify tomorrow retroactively what you did today. And if that be the case, which we'll see its application in Tumas Mes in just a minute, in our case of Shituf, where you have an Otsar, you have a storage house, a barrel of wine, and you haven't determined yet which is the exact wine that you designated as the Shituf, and tomorrow you're going to determine Limafreya, that's called Breira and Ein Breira. And that brisa which holds that mishtatvim biotzer, that it is a valid shituf, that reflects the shita of Beis Hillel, who hold yesh breira. And you can determine today, you can determine tomorrow what was undetermined today. And we apply the principle of lemafreya. That's called yesh breira. Disnan, where do we find this machlokas between Beis Hillel Beit Shammai and the Mishnah in the seventh parak of Olos? Hames babayis, there's a corpse in the house, and the house has lo psochim harbi, it has many different doors and exits from the house. Now, there are kelim that are situated under these various psochim, these various doors, and we have a principle called sof tuma lotzes. That means that if the tuma, the corpse in this case, will be taken out through a certain Pesach, then all the kelim that are in that Pesach contract tuma. And in this particular case, we have no way of guessing which one of the psachim will be the candidate, will be the ultimate place through which they'll take the corpse out. So we have to apply the principle called Safek Tuma Bershus HaYachid Sveko Tame. We have to be Metame all the Kelim in all the Pesachim, since we don't know which one of the Pesachim ultimately the corpse will be taken through. And that's what the Mishnah says, Kulam Tmeim. In other words, since we know for sure that the corpse is going to be taken out through one of these Pesachim, we cannot identify which Pesach, therefore all the Pesachim are Tame under the Halach of Safek Tuma Lahachmir. However, niftach echad mihem, now out of all these locked doors, they open up one of the doors, and now it's determined and it's clarified which door the corpse is going to go out of, where they're going to take it, because they opened up one door, is then hu tamei v'kulim tahorim. The mess is not going to be brought through any of the other Pesachim, it'll be taken out of that Pesach which they opened up, and therefore we can determine that the Kelim that are in that Pesach became Tomei, but not the Kelim in any of the other Pesachim. But now we get to the Machlokes Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. What happens? Chishev lahotzio bi'echad mehem. It's not that he unlocked one of the doors and in a very obvious demonstrative way he indicated that the mess is going to go out through this door. He was chishev aleihem. He made a decision in his mind that this is the Pesach that he is going to take the corpse out of. Oh, b'chalon sheyesh bo arbal arba. You have a sizable window, and the corpse could fit through that window. Is then, the Mishnah says, matzil al kol ha'psachim kulam. In such a case, we can be metayer all the kelim and all the other pesachim except for that one Pesach. There's now one Pesach that has the opening, either because he thought he would open that door or because it has a window and that's a convenient place to take the corpse out. So now we can establish that all the other kelim and all the other pesachim are tahor. Beit Shammai severely limits this halach. He says that only applies. Beit Shammai omrim v'ushachishev ad shelo yomus hames. In other words, there was no tumah in the house because the person is still alive. Now he's somewhere between life and death, unfortunately, and somebody else is going to be in charge after his death of taking out the corpse. That person has already decided in his mind which one of the psachim will be used to take out the mess. In such a case, the moment that the person dies and the tumah comes into the world, we already know and we've already designated that specific Pesach, and that's Matzil on Kol Shara Pesachim. However, says Beis Shammai, once the mess is gone, once the person has expired and the tumah is now in the bayis, Chishev Aleihem, the fact that he decides after the moment of death that he's going to take the corpse out of one specific Pesach, that cannot be Matzil. Because then what you're doing is you have time T1, which is the moment that the mess expired, the person died. At that point, we don't know, we have no clue, nobody's even thought about which one of the various Pesachim the corpse is going to be taken out of. And therefore, at that point, we have to be metame mitzad sofek all of the different Pesachim. Later on, he decides which Pesach. We're not going to say l'mafreya retroactively, the tumah was designated for that particular Pesach, and therefore the other Pesachim are all tahor. Because ein brera. But Beis Hillel omrim, af kishayomos hames, even if after the death, the person who is going to be in charge of taking the mess out makes that determination, that's enough l'mafreya to determine that at the time of the death, the mess was designated to go through that particular Pesach, even though at that moment in time, there was no determination, there was no decision made as to which Pesach would be the one through which the corpse would take. That decision was made later, but huvar hadavar l'mafreya, we apply the principle according to Beis Hillel of yesh brera, And therefore, we consider it as if from the get-go, meaning from the moment that the tumah came into the world, when the person expired, at that moment already, the mess was singled out, was designated to go through that particular Pesach. And therefore, we could be metayer. Again, that clarification will only come l'mafreya later on. But nevertheless, yesh breira. So the brisa that says that you could set up a shituf muvos without designating exactly which yayin is going to be used from the barrel as the shituf, but later on we'll determine and it'll be l'mafreya retroactively set into motion. That reflects the shita beis hillel that yesh breira. The other brisa that says ein mishtatfim bi'otzar reflects the shita of Ein Brera, which is the shita of Beit Shammai. Now Tosfos, Divrei HaMaskil Tanya, raises the obvious question. Abaye defended himself by saying that he couldn't do this setup in order to get a shita of Mavos and designate a barrel and say, well, one revius from this barrel of chometz, of vinegar, will be for the sake of the shituf, because Ein Brera. Now, that reflects the Shita Beit Shammai. So you should say, Tosfos Vabayka Beit Shammai? We never found that in a Machlok stream Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, we paskin like Beit Shammai. So Yesh Lomar Dabai Lo Choshev Hoda Komar Av Oshia Ha Beit Shammai Ha Beis Hillel Kosovar Abai Lo Nechliku Beis Hillel Beit Shammai Bedover Zeh. Abaye had a different take on the machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, and according to his interpretation of that machlokas, even Beis Hillel agreed that ain brir. Now, we've begun discussing cases in which the hot water that was prepared for the baby that needs a meal on Shabbos spilled out, and we're going to continue with more scenarios and more stories of that. Sahu Yanuka, there was a baby, the Shtapuch Chamime, the hot water that was prepared before Shabbos, that's necessary to remove the infection and the germs in the case of Milut spilled. Amalu Rava. Rava says, I have a brilliant solution to this problem. The mother of this baby, 8 days ago, gave birth. She's the Yoledes, and she's in a very precarious situation. Let's find out if she needs hot water. If she says, yes, I need hot water, then the halach is we can assume that she's in a life-threatening situation because the yoledes after birth is considered to be very, very vulnerable. And then, nechem le nochri agav ime, we'll tell the guy to heat up the water on behalf of the mother and add some water on behalf of the baby. Now we have a number of questions to ask on this statement of Rav. First of all, if she's a Yoledes, and therefore her situation is life-threatening and Pikuach Nefesh, then we don't have to tell the guy to do anything. And we can do it ourselves. Afil Gadol B'Yisrael should be immediately heating up the water on her behalf. And also this whole business that we have to ask the mother. And then Rav, without blinking, assumes that once they heat up the water on behalf of the mother, they can add water for the baby. But that's not true. That's called marba b'shirim, which the Gemara establishes in Chulin and elsewhere as an isur d'oraisa. So the answer is, as the Rishonim presented, that a woman is considered a yoledes for the first 7 days. So that week after her birth, her situation is so vulnerable, her immune system is so weak that her life is in danger. In such a case, for sure, we wouldn't want to bother running around looking for a guy to heat up the water. We'll do it immediately. And we might not even have to ask her. But once she reaches day 8, which is our case of Mila, then her situation is in that gray area. And this was Gemara and Shabbos that we learned. She's between 7 and 30, let's say. And then we have to ask her. And even if she says she needs the chil Shabbos, she needs the water to be heated up on Shabbos, we're not 100% sure. And therefore, we will instruct a guy to heat up the water. Now, the mitzvah of Mila, on Shabbos, in this case the eighth day, is a very important mitzvah. For the sake of that mitzvah, we're going to allow marbe b'shiurim to add to the volume of water if the guy is the one who's heating up the water. So we have A plus B plus C. We have three tarte, or shall we say, tlosa litivusa. Number one, we're allowed to heat up the water for the mother, because in day eight, if she says she needs the heated water, we allowed to heat up the water. And number two, we have the guy who's heating up the water. So we ourselves, the Jews, would not heat up the water because she's yotze mechlal sakana. And on top of that, we have the great mitzvah of milah, which is going to allow being marbe pishurim to add to the volume of the water, such that now we'll have hot water both for the mother and for the baby. Take a look at this woman. Do you really think that her life is in danger? She is eating dates. We gave her dates, and she ate them. And dates are considered a davar tzonin. It's something that sort of cools off the body. And a person whose life is in danger, if they're not healthy, should not be eating dates. It must be, we have proof positive that she's a healthy woman. She doesn't have to drink hot water. Why are we allowing Amir Eliakim to tell and instruct the guy that he should heat up the water for on Shabbos on Olay? So Rava responds to Rav Masharshe, don't prove anything from the fact that she's eating the tamarim and establish that she's healthy. Perhaps she was in a state of frenzy where she couldn't think clearly, and she's not working, as we say colloquially, with a full deck. She's not totally lucid, and she's not paying attention to what she's eating. She needed to eat. She was hungry. She saw dates. She took the dates. And that doesn't really prove that she's healthy in this case. If a woman decides, you know, if she's working with all her marbles and she says, I want to eat dates, then we assume she's healthy. But in this case, she was desperate to eat something. She was not in a state of mind to make this shikul hadas and decide what she would eat. She found the dates, they presented it on a plate, and she ate it. Another story. Hu yanuka baby dishtapech hamima. I don't know why all these hot waters that were heated on Erev Shabbos for the baby and Mila were all spilled. I don't know. I'm not sure why that happens. But in any event, in this particular case, they had prepared this hot water on Erev Shabbos to, as a necessary therapy for the baby to reduce the possibility of infection. And there was a chotzer. There was a chotzer between two batim. So the milah is taking place in the house, we'll call it, on the left. And there's another bais which has hot water on the right. There's a chotzer between the two batim. Now, the bais on the right that has the hot water is owned by Rava. And Rava obviously would love to see how we can get the hot water across the chatzer in order to use it for the benefit of the baby whose meal is taking place in the bais that's directly across on the other side of the chatzer. Amalahu Rava. So Rava turns to the family and they say, and to his own family. Now, in order to appreciate what Rava's going to instruct his family, we should offer the following introduction. Rava's house looked like this. And this is the house, as we said, on the right side, right? So Rava's house had different chambers. The chambers on the left, facing the chatzer, towards the entrance or the exit to the chatzer, were dedicated for the menfolk. The inner chambers, towards the other side of Rava's house, were dedicated for the women folk. And when Rava's going to allow taking the water across this chatzer for the sake of the baby to get it to the other house where the milah is being performed, he's worried that maybe one of the Bnei Mishpacha will think, all right, you're allowed to carry into this chatzer, and there are all sorts of types of utensils and food and furniture, whatever it might be, in the Chedre HaGvarim, in the chambers there that border on the chatzer. And they may decide that, look, we're carrying the water through the chatzer. Obviously, we're allowed to carry our items, our belongings into the chatzer. So therefore, Rav instructs the Bnei Mishpach. He says, Pnuli Monei, take all the kelim, lefanototam, right, to remove them, mibei gavri, from the chambers that are dedicated for the men that border on the chatzer, and move them inside to the bei noshi, to those chambers that are dedicated for the women, so that no one will carry out these kelim into the chatzer. Everybody will see that we're taking the kelim all the way into the other side of the house, so that no one take them out into the chatzer. The Ezel, the Esiv Hassel. I am going to go and sit in the women's chambers. I'm going to supervise to make sure that nobody takes any of those kelim out of the chamber, lest they carry them into the chatzer. The Ivta Lahu Laha Chatzer. How will I allow on Shabbos carrying the water from my house, says Rav, through the chatzer to the other house where the meal is taking place? After all, there was no erev in the chatzer. And the answer is, he's going to mevatel his rishus to the second chatzer. He's going to renounce his ownership rights on this chatzer, so that now there's only one family that uses and accesses this chatzer. In such a case, you don't need an erev. So that's called bitul rishus. We've come across this concept of bitul rishus more than once. A classic scenario of bitul rishus would be when you had two batim that shared a common chatzer, and one of the batim failed to participate. He forgot about the eruv. So the only way out in such a case to allow carrying into the chatzer would be to have him being mevatel his rishus. So here you have two houses on two sides of a chatzer, and Rava says, I'm going to be mevatel my rishus for the benefit of the other chatzer. I'm being mesalik myself. I'm renouncing my rights. Amalei Ravina l'Rava. Wait a second. Va'amar Shmuel ein bitul rishus michatzer l'chatzer. If you recall the sugya that we learned yesterday, if you have two chatzeros and each one is independent, each one has its own exit, it's not a case of a Pnimis and a chitzona, an inner chamber, an inner bias in an inner chatzer that could only have access and passageway by going through the outer chatzer, but rather it's two independent batim that have their own access to the chatzeros. And this is the situation that Rava was facing in his case, and the halacha is, like Shmuel, apparently, that ein mevatlin michatzer lechatzer. That bittel only works when they're osrim zelzeh, but if they're two independent chatzeros, then they're not osrim zelzeh. But we have Rabbi Yochanan of yesterday who rejects Shmuel. He holds that mevatlin michatzer lechatzer. Yesh bitul rishus michatzer. So Omo Leisa, Rava said to Ravina. Ravina was quite surprised. Anok Rabbi Yochanan severely. I accepted Rabbi Yochanan's shita. Di Omo yesh bitul rishus michatzer lechatzer. Ravina comes back and asks Rava the Ilo Sovrala Mar Kishmuel. If you never accepted Shmuel, why do you have to take all your kelim from the men's chamber and move them and supervise them in the women's chamber? And here we turn to Samaches Amud Beis. Nesiv Mar Beduchte, just let everything stay where it is. Let the kelim and let Rava, you yourself, you talk to the third person, Mar, remain in that outer chamber with the men's chamber. And you could be mevatel your rishus to the bnei chatzer of the other bayis. And in such a case, you can carry out the water from here to there. And if after the water is brought over, you would have, or anybody in your family, in your entourage, would have need to take Kalim out into the Chatzar, is then Nahadru Inu Venevatale Lamar. Then you could ask and request of the Bnei Chatzar Acheres, the other Chatzar, that they will be Mevatale Rishus to you. And now you're allowed to carry into the Chatzar. To Omar Rav, Mevatlin Vechozer Mevatlin. It's kind of like a seesaw or a ping pong game. That Reuven in this chatzah could be mevatel his renounce and renege on his ownership in the chatzah, and then on behalf of Shimon, and then Shimon could do the same reciprocally to Reuven. And it goes back and forth. So Rava answers, I know, but in this issue of Rav, Kishmul severely. The Omer ein mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin, which means that you can't have the best of both. You know, you can't take the hevel on both ends. You know, you cannot have Reuven being mevatel himself to Shimon, mevatel his ownership in the chatz to Shimon, and then Shimon on the way back on the rebound be mevatel his rishus in the chatz. So the Gemara asks for lav chad taimu. Wait a minute, you're being very inconsistent, Rava. Because on the one end, you're telling me that you hold like Rabbi Yochanan against Shmuel, and therefore mevatlin mechotzel lechotz. On the other hand, you hold like Shmuel against Rav in the issue of mevatlin mechotzel mevatlin. Those two issues are interdependent. Because lav chad taimu is an interdependent my taimu. What's the reason of ein mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin? Lav mishum is it not because they came into batli l'rshusei estalik le mehoch legamre. Once he was mevatel his rishus, he renounced his ownership rights in this chotzer. He's completely removed from this chotzer. He becomes a total alien to this chotzer. He's like anybody else who has their own chotzeros. Havi le kemen chotzer acheres. He really belongs to a different chatzer. He certainly doesn't belong to this chatzer after Bittul. And therefore, ain Bittul Rishus mi chatzel chatzer. Now I can apply Shmuel's rule of there's no Bittul from one Rishus to, from one chatzer to another chatzer. Now you've been mesalik yourself through Bittul. And therefore, ain mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin, because that would be a violation of the principle of ain mevatlin mi chatzel chatzer. Meaning, once you've removed yourself from this chotzer, for the other fellow to be mevatel his rights in this chotzer to you would be like somebody being mevatel their rights to another chotzer. You're out of this chotzer. You're mesalik yourself from this chotzer. So, Ravi, you're involved in an inconsistency, because on the one hand, you're holding like Rav that mevat, that, you're holding against Rav, like Shmuel, that ain mevatlin v'chozer mevatel. On the other hand, you hold like Rabbi Yochanan against Shmuel, and there is bitul mechotzer lechotzer. It's all one package deal. So Rav says, no, these are two dinim and two different issues. They're independent one of the other. Hasam, in the case of the issue that divides Rav and Shmuel, on mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin, hainu taima, there's a different reason why Shmuel holds ein mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin. You don't have this ability to have this table tennis, you know, where the ball goes back and forth. Hainu taima ki heichid lo lehevi milsa derabonin kechucha v'tlula. You're making a joke out of the chachamim. You know, the chachamim are allowing you now to remove yourself from this chatzah so that the other Bala Chotzer, the other Ben Chotzer could carry, and then afterwards, after he carries, then we do it the other way around, we swap back and forth, and it looks like Leitzonis, it looks like Schok, it looks like Chucha V'tlula, it's a joke. People are not going to take the Chachamim seriously if you can have the Rishonim being Mevatel, and then the other Ben Chotzer being Mevatel back and forth. But in the din of mevatle mechotzer lechotzer, says Rava, I hold like Rabbi Yochanan, and that mevatle mechotzer lechotzer, this has nothing to do with the din of mevatlin vechozer mevatlin, which is an issue of chucha v'tlula. And therefore, on the one hand, I can accept Rabbi Yochanan's shita that mevatla michatzel lechatzer, even though I accept the shita of Shmuel that ein chozrin, ein mevatla vechozrin umevatla. Gufa, the Gemara says, let's go back to what we learned earlier, the machlokes shin Rav and Shmuel. In a case, we have two people that live in the same chatzah and there was no Erev, and Rav Omer mevatlin vechozrin mevatlin. That the Dayorim here could be Mevatel, their Rishus in the Chatzer on behalf of the other Dayorim, and then we can swap it around, and the others, reciprocally, the other Dayorim will be Mevatlim, their Rishus in the Chatzer. Shmuel Omer, Ein Mevatlin, Chos Mevatlim. What is the Machlokes all about? The Gemara now puts the issue of Chucha Vitlulo on the back burner. Lema, perhaps we should suggest in our analysis of this machlokas that Rav Shmuel, they're really arguing about an old machlokas, an old issue, but plugged to the Rabban of Rabbi Eliezer Kamiflik. Now, when a person is mevatel his rishus, meaning he renounces his ownership, we're going to have the following machlokas. Here's the issue: is he being mevatel his rights to use the chatzer, and only his rights to use the chatzer, or is the chatzer, so to speak, a package with the bias itself, and is a complete, total, all-inclusive bittul, such that he's being mevatel his rights not only to the chatzer, but together with the chatzer, in the bias itself. And that's a plugta between Rabbanon and Rabbi Eliezer. Later on, Adaf Samach Tes. And the Gemara assumes that now we can make a matching and we can suggest that Rav di Omer ki Rabbanon u Shmuel di Omer ki Rabbi Eliezer. According to the Rabbanon, when a person says, I'm being mevatel my rishus, I'm renouncing my rights to the chatzer, he never said anything as bad as bias. We can't go beyond his word, his statement, his declaration. And therefore, he's still considered one of the B'nai HaChatzer because he has a bias that borders on this Chatzer. And therefore, Rav holds, based on his acceptance of the Rabbanon, that Mevatlim V'Chozrim U'Mevatlim. Because it makes sense now that if Reuven was Mevatel himself, he was only mevatel his rights to the chotzer, but not to the bias. He still therefore retains his status as one of the b'nei ha-chotzer. And therefore we don't have an issue here of being mevatel mi-chotzer l'chotzer, because he's not a ben chotzer acheres. He's very much part of this chotzer. He has a bias, which he owns. He has exclusive rights of possession in the bias, and that bias spills into the chotzer. So he's still considered one of the b'nei ha-chotzer. And therefore, if there would be an issue of mevatlin uchozer mevatlin, that it's going from one chatzah to another chatzah, that's not true. It's not going from one chatzah to the other. It's one chatzah. Shmuel, on the other hand, who says ein chozer mevatlin, because once you're mevatlin, you're rishus, you are out of here. He holds like Rabbi Eliezer, who says that once you're mevatlin, you're rishus in the chatzah, then ipso facto, we assume you're mevatlin, you're rishus in the bias as well. You have nothing here. You have given up all your rights. Again, keep in mind, Rabbi Eliezer, this is only as far as the laws of Erevin is concerned. It's not like he's, you know, disowning the house and anyone can come along and be kona the house from Hefker. But it means for this Shabbos, he is being mevatel the rishus that he has in the bias. Oh, then he becomes a ben chotzer acheres. He's totally alien and foreign to this chotzer. And therefore, if there would be another bittel here, I'm part of the other party, that would be a bittel from chotzer lechotzer. Omelcha Rav and Shmuel now both want to work their shitas out, respectively, with both Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. So Rav is going to say, I can hold even like Rabbi Eliezer. Ano diamri afilu Le Rabbi Eliezer. Why? Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Eliezer hasam. When did Rabbi Eliezer say that a person, if he's mevatel, is rishus in a chatzah, there's a package deal that includes not only the chatzah, but also the bayis? That's because Mishum Divibais below Chatz lo Dairi Inshi. Nobody lives in a house without a chatz. So if he gave up his chatz, then he's giving up his bias. Again, this is a sociological phenomenon that we're a little bit unfamiliar with. But back in the time of the Shas, a person had to have a bias with a chatz. I mean, he had to have a courtyard in which he would go out, do what he has to do in his courtyard, and then continue on to Rishus HaRab. Aval inyan istaluke mi omar. We're not going to say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, even though the bittul is chal not only on the rishus of the chutz, but also on the rishus of the bias, therefore he's mesalik himself legamre. Therefore he's considered as if he's out of the chutz completely, such that if the other party now would be chozer mevatel, it would be like a ben chutz acheres. That far Rabbi Eliezer never went. Rabbi Eliezer only is saying that the bittul has an impact even and relates even to the bias. But it doesn't mean that the man is being misalik himself, as if to say that because he's misalik his rishus, therefore he's considered as if he doesn't belong to this chotzer. You have to admit that we can still retain his status as one of the bnei chotzer. And therefore, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree to my position, says Rav, that chozer mevatlin u'shmul amar no diami afilu ke rabbonon. Even though the Rabbanan say that he still retains his rights in the bias, ad kan lo kami Rabbanan hasam. When do the Rabbanan say that the bittul is limited, and he still retains his rights in the bias? Ella, my de bittul bittul, my de lo bittul lo bittul. We have to take his pronouncement, his declaration, and we can't go beyond. He explicitly announced that he's being mevatel himself from the chotzer. He never said anything about the bias. We can't go beyond that. But as far as his chelik that he has in this chotzer is a stalik legamri. He removed himself near legamri. He said, I'm out of here. I don't consider myself as one of the dayari chotzer. I belong to a different chotzer. I'll find my way out through a different chotzer. And then we're going to apply the principle of ein mevatlim mi chotzer le chotzer. Omer of Acha bar Chanan. Amar Rav Sheshes. This machlokes of Rav Shmuel Kitanoi should be interpreted in the light of a different machlokes, again in a Mishnah later on in Samach Tes. One person forgot to join in the Erev in this Chotzer, and Nosan Rishuso is Mevatel is Rishus in the Chotzer on behalf of the other Bnei HaChotzer, so that they will be allowed to carry from their respective homes out into the chotzer. He himself will not be allowed to carry from his house into the chotzer. But then Hotzi, that one individual who failed to join in the Erev, and then he was mevatel his rishus in the chotzer, he went ahead, either deliberately or inadvertently, and he carried from his house out to the chotzer, indicating that this is his chotzer, and that he has rights to use the chotzer. He does the opposite of what he originally proclaimed when he decided to renounce his rights to the chotzer. And here we have a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. According to the first Tana, which is Rabbi Meir, bein b'shogeg, bein b'mezid, oser. In other words, it doesn't matter whether he did this deliberately or not, he has now demonstrated that he has rights to the chotzer. He's now removing his original bittul. That's called Chazorah Mibitula. And now he has possession of the Chotzer. If he has possession of the Chotzer, he's one of the Bnei Chotzer, he has not participated in the Eruv, he undermines and invalidates the Eruv for the rest of the Bnei Chotzer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, it depends. B'mezid, if he deliberately took his Kalim out of his house and put him into the Chotzer, carried him into the Chotzer, Oser, then he generates an Iser on all the Bnei Chotzer. But Pishogeg, if he did it inadvertently, ain't no Oseh, because that's not considered that he wanted to be Chozer Mitulo. He was Shogeg, he accidentally took something out to the Chotzer from his house. Says Rav Sheshes, what is the Yisod of the Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda? My Lav Baha Kam Miflegi. Here's what they're arguing about. Mars of our Rabbi Meir holds that mevatlin vechozrim umevatlin. That you can have that ping pong in which Reuven is mevatel his rishus to the chutz, and then subsequently it goes the other way around. Shimon is going to be mevatel his rishus for on behalf of Reuven. And the reason for this is because the mevatel was not mesalik himself legamri. He didn't remove himself completely from the chutzir, and he's still considered one of the bnei achutzir. And therefore, Rabbi Meir says that even if he was a shogeg, if he carried out into the chutzir, it's indicative of the fact that he was chozer bo mi bitulo, and now he wants to be zocher in his rishus, in his possession in the chutzir. Because again, he wasn't mesalik himself legamre from the get-go. And that's because Rabbi Meir holds, like Rav, meaning the same sheet as Rav, that mevatlin v'chozim mevatlin. He's not a ben chotzer acheres, he's still not mesulik from this chotzer. Umar sov, Rabbi Yehuda holds, ein mevatlin v'chozim mevatlin, which means that once you set up a bittel and you've renounced your rights in the chotzer, you have removed yourself completely from the chotzer, you're considered like a ben chotzer acheres, as if you belong to a different chotzer. And if that be the case, then Rabbi Yehuda is right that in all cases, just one second, what was Rabbi Yehuda's shita was to differentiate between mezen and shogeg, and Rabbi Yehuda holds b'shogeg eino oser, and the reason for that is because since he was mesalik himself completely from the chotzer, then if he takes out b'shogeg, that's not considered as if he's re-establishing his chazokah and implementing a chazokah in the chotzer. So the Gemara rejects this. Omar Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa Mishmei Derova Lo. There's no interconnection here between the machlokas of Rav Shmuel about Chozrim and Vatlin and the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir regarding the case where a person was Vavatl and then he carried out from his house b'shogeg. The Kuli Alma, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda agree that ein mevatlin v'chozrin u'mevatlin. They maintain, like Shmuel, that once a person's mevatl is reshus, he was mesalik himself completely legamri from the chotzer, and therefore will apply the principle of ein bittel mechotzer lechotzer. And even Rabbi Meir is moda that, according to the strict letter of the law, when a person, after his bittel, he carries out into the chotzer, even though he did it b'shogeg, he is eino chozer v'zocha b'chotzer. Why? Because since he was mesalik himself completely, and that's why ein mevatlin v'chozer mevatlin, then he's not considered to have implemented a chazaka on this chotzer to reestablish his ownership. But hacha b'kantzu shogeg atu mezin kamifugi. The machlokas here is about kantzu shogeg atu mezin. Mar sov, according to Rabbi Meir, kantzu means when he takes out from his house b'shogeg, they penalize him atu mezin, because we're afraid that maybe next time he'll do it b'mezin. Now, if he had done it b'mezin, then certainly he was chozer, and he made a chazaka on the chotzer. So therefore, even though in the case of shogeg, he did not make a chazaka on the chotzer, nevertheless, we're going to insist that it's as if he did it b'mezid, and he made a chazaka on the chotzer. Umar sav, Rabbi Yehuda holds lo kansu shogeg atu mezid. We don't have to impose a penalty on him in a case where he inadvertently carried out into the chotzer, and fear that, suspect that tomorrow, next time he'll do it b'mezid. Now the Gemara quotes Rav Ashi, and he in fact goes back to the original understanding of Rav and Shmuel, that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about the machlokas as to whether a person who's mevatel is reshus in the chotzer also removes himself from the bias. Rav Ashi Omar Rav Shmuel b'plukta Rabbi Eliezer Rabbanan kamiflegi, and Rav holds that chozerim mevatlin, because Rav holds like the Rabbanon that if a person mevatel reshus in his chotzer, he was not mevatel his reshus in the bayis, he wasn't mesalik himself from the chotzer, and therefore yecholim lachzor ulevatel. Shmuel, on the other hand, holds like Rabbi Eliezer, that when a person is mevatel is reshus in the chutz, he's mevatel is reshus in the bayis as well, and therefore he's mesalik himself completely from the chutz, and therefore ain chozer mevatlin, because it becomes like bittel mechutz lechutz. Now, getting back to our Mishnah says that if Jews reside in a chutz with a goy, then the Erev is an impossibility unless we rent out the space from the goy. What's the status of a tzedoki? The tzedoki were, in a sense, the adversaries of the Chachamim. They were born Jewish, but they rejected Torah, or they accepted Torah Shebichsav, but not Torah Shebalpeh. Amar Rab Gamliel, Maisa B'Tzedoki Echad, Sheyidari Imanu, right, we shared a mavui with a tzedoki in Yerushalayim, and my father told us that the ruling is that we should bring out the kelim into the mavui, whatever kelim we want to get out to the mavui, before the tzedoki gets a chance to do the same. Why? Because the tzedoki is able to be mavatel is reshus, and now we're allowed to carry out into the mavui, but we have to worry about the fact that he might decide, this tzedoki, to remove and rescind his bittel and demonstrate that by taking his kelim out to the chutz. So let's hop around first and bring our kelim out to the chutz. So the Gemara asks a technical question about how to read this Mishnah. Tzedoki mandakar shmei. You know, Rab Gamliel is sort of arguing with what came before him in the Mishnah, with this story about the tzedoki, but yet the Tanakhama of the Mishnah never said anything about a tzedoki. He didn't say that we have to rent out the space from the tzedoki because we cannot allow or validate a bittel on the part of the tzedoki. So what's Rabbi Gamliel coming to tell us and teach us from this story of the tzedoki? And the Gemara answers, Chisuri Mechzer of Alchi Ketori, we'll add a few words to the Mishnah. Tzedoki in the Tanakhama, Hareu Kinochri, he has the same status as Nochri, and we completely exclude him from being Mevatel as Rishus. Therefore, he generates an Iser on the Bnei HaChotzer, unless they rent out his rights to the Chotzer. Rav Gamliel disagrees. Omer, he holds, Tzedoki Einu K'Nochri, that the Chachamim never equated a Tzedoki with a Nochri, and even though the Tzedoki could not participate in the Eruv, because he fits the category of someone who's not mode to be Eruv, he doesn't accept an Eruv, but nevertheless, he could be Mevatel as Rishus, like any other Jew. And therefore, Rab Gamliel, Omar Rab Gamliel, he tells me now the story of Maisa B'Tzedoki Echad, She'edori Monu B'Movi B'Yushalayim, V'Amar Lanu Abba Ma'aruvo Tzios HaKeil V'Movi Ad Shelo Yotzi V'Yesar, meaning that V'Yesar Alecha, meaning that the tzedoki can indeed be mevatel his reshus to the chotzer. He's not considered like a goy. We don't have to rent out his space, just so we have to make sure that he's not chozer bo mibitulo, that we go out there and use the chotzer before he gets a chance to use the chotzer. So the Gemara raises the following question, Vatanya, we have a brisa that certainly, it's very misleading, it's ambiguous. Sometimes the word Vatanya means, and I'll prove it to you from a Braisa. That's what it means here. Vatanya, and that's exactly what we learned in a Braisa. Hadar im Nochri, this is the Tanakama's view. O im Tztuki or Baitusi, Hare Elu Osrim Olaf. They generate an Isa Tiltal from the house to the Chotzer or to the Mavri, because until we rent out their space, they have the same status as a Nochri. Ram Gamliel Omer, Tzedoki Baitusi Einam Osrim, Umaisu B'Tzedoki Echad Shayadar Im Ram Gamliel B'movi B'Yushalayim, V'Omer Lehem Ram Gamliel L'Bonov Banai Maharuvo Tziu Kol Mashatem Motziim, V'Achnisu Kol Mashatem Machnisim, Ad Shelo Yotzi HaToev Hazeh, V'Omer Alechem Bitel Sharei Bitel Reshuso Lachem. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir presents the view of Rabbi Gamliel to the tune of a tzedoki is not considered like a goy against the Tanakhama. He can be Mevatel's Rishus, and therefore Rabbi Gamliel, in the case of the tzedoki who lived together with the Jews in the same chotzer. He instructed his Jewish relatives and friends that they better be careful and take out what they have to take out before the guy, not a guy, but in this case it's Stoki, will get a chance to use the chotzer and demonstrate that he wants to be chozer bo mibitulo. That's the version of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda said that Rabbi Gamaliel said to his children Beloshen Acheres in a different language. He said to them, Maruva sutzar chechem b'movui. Be quick to use the mavui, and whatever you have to bring out before Shabbos. Anshelo techshav, before it gets dark. V'yesar aleichem, the tztuki will generate an isa tiltil between the batim and the mavui. And the reason is that is because we have no way of being misakin a mavui that the tztuki lives in. Meaning that, according to the version of Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Gamliel agrees that a tztoki has the status of a nochri. And if we don't bring out whatever we have to bring out to the mavui before Shabbos, we won't be able to do so on Shabbos because we cannot be metakein this mavui. Omar Mar, we learned in the Brice of the way Rabbi Meir submitted and transmitted his version that Rabbi Gamliel said, Hotziu masha temotziim, vechnisu masha temachnisim, ad shelo yotzi atoev hazevi esor aleichem, is lemeimar, should we assume, therefore the chimafke inu v'hodor mapik iu lo osar? It would seem that we could derive from Rabbi Meir that when the children of Rabbi Gamliel would take out their kelim and place them in the mavui, they make a chazak on the mavui, in such a case that if subsequently the tztoki will take out his kelim to the mavui, he's not going to generate an iser because the b'nei Rabbi Gamliel have already established a chazaka. And now he cannot establish his chazaka. And we turn to Samach Tes, Vatnan, but we learned in the Mishnah, Misha Nosan Reshuso Vahotzi, Bein Veshogi Bein Memezid Ose, Divrei Rabbi Meir, the Rabbi Meir holds, that even if a person, after he was Mevatel's Reshus, and others went out, and utilizing their soul, exclusive rights and possession of the chotzer, they took their kelim out of the chotzer. If he, after he was mevatel, goes out and uses the chotzer, then he's chozer, he completely rescinds and revokes his original bittul, and he's osur aleh. So therefore, Rav Yosef says, Eino, we have to rewrite the text of the Mishnah, Eino osur, that Rabbi Meir holds, Eino oser. In other words, once the Bnei Achotzer make a chazaka, then the person can no longer make a chazara and a chazaka on that which he was mevat. So this is where we're going to stop for today, here on Samach Tes Amud Aleph, and that gives you homework for today. So Amir Tashem, we'll try to pick it up on Daf Ayin. On Rosh Chodesh, I think we decided that we're meeting on Rosh Chodesh at 8:15. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, great. So let me take this opportunity to wish you a great Shabbos. And...